Welcome to Behind the Story, a program where we take you straight to the source. In this episode, we'll hear about two women who have spent the last several months recording McLennan County history by documenting cemeteries and gravestones in the area. The task has taken them from larger cemeteries in the county to single graves and cow pastures. Since October, the duo have documented 120 cemeteries. This is Behind the Story.
Last time we came out of here, it was wet and I had to stop back there, but...
Just past Highway 6 off of South 3rd Street, there's a small gravel road that quickly turns to dirt. A barbed wire fence lines its path and eventually gives way to a row of trees. These are the telltale signs of rural Texas.
Now, can you imagine graves up in here?
Nope.
That's retiree Sharon McNary. Along with her friend Rita Hogan, she's documented some 120 cemeteries in McLennan County, from larger multi-acre cemeteries down to single grave ones and cow pastures. In total, they estimate there are roughly 200 cemeteries in the county. The one we're in today, New Zion, is a collection of various family lots and some single graves dating back to the late 1800s. The two are here to record and photograph gravestones. They'll add this information to findagrave.com, a website dedicated to creating a virtual resource for anyone looking to find the final resting place of family members or friends. For McNary, her interest in doing all of this started when she began maintaining her family's records, adding photos and obituaries for them to findagrave.com. Soon, she then began adding information for every other person buried at that cemetery.
It's just an untangling of secrets and looking and digging.
Hogan's interest in the project came from her work with the McLennan County Cemetery Interest Group. Each week, the two head out for about 4 hours searching for and tracking down cemeteries.
When we go out trying to just find the location and the physical address and the GPS address, we don't always go in there and photograph every grave. It's a searching for the cemetery. Then we're planning to go back in the future and photograph.
On subsequent visits, like today's to New Zion, they'll start documenting each grave.
There's another one, yeah.
Yeah, they're everywhere out here.
If there's no visible marker, like a gravestone, Hogan says you can also spot a grave by looking for areas where the ground sinks, or by looking for vegetation that wouldn't normally grow in the wild.
This vine here, my mother called it grave vine. It's also, it's got another name for it, but when you go to these old cemeteries, you see it here, and it's something that was planted by people. It's not a naturally occurring plant, but it does a real good job of covering things up.
When they find a gravestone, they'll first take a picture, then try to clean it up a bit using a brush, and sometimes they'll rub chalk or flour over the engraving. This helps them read the name.
See how it'll bring out the letters where you can read the name now. Charlotte.
1962.
Stringfellow. Oh, this is Stringfellow. Charlotte Stringfellow. Okay.
Have you heard this name before?
No, but I can read it. So that's exciting, because otherwise we can't find any information on her. If we just have a headstone, we can't read.
Collectively, the duo has added information on nearly 20,000 people to find a grave, contributing more than 26,000 photos to the website. But it hasn't been easy. Hogan says early on, there wasn't much attention given to record keeping.
They didn't really start keeping records of deaths until about 1908, and they didn't really get serious about it until about 1920. Mm-hmm. So before 1920, it's very hit or miss if there's going to be a death certificate to look at. Some parts of the county were very good at it, and some of them, they're non-existent.
Normally, Texas death certificates will have a place of burial printed on them, but if it's not there, Hogan and McNary will research. In fact, that's what most of their week consists of. Hours and days spent at home or the library looking through records. The two do this because, yes, it helps them actively spend their retirement, but it's also important to them. Hogan explains.
Well, I think every grave represents a history of that person, of that family, and their community that they grew up in. There are so many little communities that don't exist anymore that those people were part of.
And their efforts are ensuring that those histories aren't forgotten. Now we'll hear more from Sharon McNary and Rita Hogan. The two retirees have been active on findagrave.com and most recently have been working together to document cemeteries in McLennan County. Sharon, Rita, thanks for talking with KWBU today. First off, would you mind introducing yourselves?
I'm Rita Hogan, and I'm retired. I used to work in accounts payable for about 18 years. I have two children. I'm a widow.
I'm Sharon McNary, also retired and needed something to feel worthwhile doing as a volunteer, and this is what I discovered. I've lived in Waco all my life. I have three grown daughters and two grandsons.
What really was it that got you too interested in Find a Grave, or how exactly did you hear about it, and what really made you think of preserving history this way?
Well, for me, it was there's a group called McSIG. It's the McLennan County Cemetery Interest Group, and they work through the West Waco Library. There's a group that meets once a month to discuss cemeteries they might want to visit or record. And I helped put together Volume 9 of the cemetery book for McLennan County. And then that introduced me to Find a Grave. And so now Sharon and I put everything we do on Find a Grave because it's a worldwide resource for anybody who wants to research their family or history or whatever.
And I started out, my family cemetery is Gerald, which is halfway between Elmont and Leroy. And I decided to get involved in putting all of their handwritten records on an Excel spreadsheet and in the computer. And so when I mentioned it to my boyfriend one night, he said, "Oh, have you gone to Find a Grave?" And I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." So he went over and showed me, and I just fell in love with it. So my next project was to photograph the entire cemetery and put it on. And then from there, I went and started finding an obit for every person buried at Gerald and adding that information. And I've been on a little over 5 years, and I've just loved every minute of it.
And how many cemeteries are there in McLennan County that y'all know of?
I would say there are over 200.
Oh, yes.
And that's from big lots to just the
one grave. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We especially like to work on the ones that have no headstones. The only way they'll be remembered is if we have some record that helps us locate them. The Texas death certificates have been a wonderful source for that. You can go there and nearly all death certificates tell at the bottom of them where the body was buried. And Sharon especially and another friend of ours go through year by year locating people in the death certificates and adding them to Find a Grave, and many of them will never have a headstone, but they will be remembered in that cemetery because they have that record on there.
Now, can the two of you take me through the process of it all, from hearing there might be a gravestone somewhere and looking through records to going out there in the county and actually looking for the sites?
Well, we'll go to the library a lot and use the this master list. And then that will give us a general idea maybe of where something is. So then we'll try the Google map to see if perhaps if we Google the name, it will come up. Because some of the smaller cemeteries are still listed on maps, but not all of them. And then we'll talk to people to see, you know, have you ever been by there? Do you know of anyone who has? And then we'll just start driving and looking and searching. We had one. There are three Smith cemeteries located close to Crawford. So we were out just driving, and we stopped at this one house and asked this man that was out in the yard. We said, we're told there's a Smith cemetery around here. Do you know? And he said, "Oh, go right down here, and where it makes a sharp turn, it's back up there in the pasture." So when we slowed down, it was real overgrown in the fall. There was the old antique wrought iron fence with a cut two headstones that we can see. We are now trying to get out to photograph that. We have gotten permission from the landowner, and we just hoping maybe next week to get out and photograph it.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But the one that Rita talked about earlier down by Riesel that was found by surveyors, we hunted for that one for 4 or 5 hours maybe. Oh, it was a long time. Mm-hmm. Just walking and looking and hoping and find, you know. But we don't give up. We're like little terrier dogs. We drove up to Meridian one day because there was a Smith Cemetery, and we wanted to prove it was not in McLennan County. And that was an ordeal. We went to the neighborhood where we knew it was supposed to be, and across the street happened to be a funeral home. So we went in, and the funeral director said, "Oh, I'm going to call the woman right across the street here. She'll meet y'all on the porch and tell you all about it." So she came out the porch and she said, "It's right back there in those trees." Well, that's kind of a general broad idea. So we walked and looked and walked and looked and went back up, and she said, "My daughter will be home in a minute. I'll have her come pinpoint it." So she came out and she said, "It's somewhere right out," and it was very overgrown. I walked out there and I told Rita, I said, "I just have a feeling we are really close, really close." So I took my little digging tool and I went thunk and hit a stone. And we dug them up, and there were six, wasn't it? And they were all from like the 1880s?
1870s and 1880s.
And it was a whole family. Now you can tell the history of the man.
Well, he was the first postmaster in Bosque County. I think he might have been the mayor of Meridian or something at one time. It was his family buried there, his wife, some children. Some of them died within a few months of either, so we think there must have been some sort of epidemic. But all the graves were laid flat, and they'd been covered by leaves over the years and everything. So Sharon and I wanted so badly to uncover them and photograph them, we ran down to a hardware store and bought a hoe, and we
all
had
kind of stuff.
Trimmers with us. I got a terrible case of poison ivy. But we did it, and we were so excited when we uncovered that and were able to photograph that and put a really good history of the man on there, because he was a part of the history of Bosque County. So It was a really fun day, even though the poison ivy reminded me of it for several weeks.
So it could take several hours to check.
Oh, yes, yes. Now let's talk about some of the interesting things we've seen. Would you like to hear that?
Yes, definitely.
There is a cemetery called Moorville that's out
in Falls County,
and it's, you drive in and it's white, and then over here are the Mexicans, and then over this way are the blacks. And in the Mexican part, there's one headstone that has this big cactus behind it, and they have carved their initials through the leaves of the cactus, or hearts or different designs to decorate it.
I just love that little cemetery. I love folk markers, the sort of the homemade markers, and that one has some of the most interesting ones. Somebody in the family must have been a tile person, because they've covered the graves with pretty tiles, and I really think that cactus probably was in grandmother's yard or something, and when she died, they moved it out to the cemetery, because it's like as big around as a basketball at the base. And it's like when all the family members would come visit, it was a thornless cactus.
Mm-hmm.
They would scratch their initials in one of the cactus pads, sort of like, "I was here and I visited."
Mm-hmm.
One of them carved completely through the pad a heart shape,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't hurt the cactus pad at all. So now there's a cactus pad just growing just fine with a heart cut out of the middle of it. And it's just, we love seeing things like that. We love the little homemade folk tombstones and stuff.
There are some beautiful homemade stones up at Mount Pleasant Grove, which is right on the Hill County line out by Aquila. And there's about 15 or so. And they're painted, but the paint is like this thick on them. It's raised up,
mm-hmm.
and they're very colorful, and they're just beautiful. My most remarkable headstone I found was down in Cox Cemetery at Eddy, and it has, the guy was born in the 1700s, and I had never seen a headstone from the 1700s. And that just, I still, that's the highlight.
In McLennan County, that's really unusual.
Yes, that was in McLennan, yeah.
I think I've gotten a good sense of what the difficulties in all of this might be. You know, it could take hours, the sun's beating down on you. And I think I have a good idea of what some of the rewards in doing this are. But what do you think is the benefit of it?
Preserving history.
Connecting families.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two.
Yes.
Do you think, and I know you told me stories early on that you know, you had families contact you saying, thank you, I've been trying to track down my, is that part of, I guess, the reward?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes. That's the only thing we get is the kind words of thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I had a gentleman in Michigan contact me. He said I was in Waco in the military in the early 50s, and my child was stillborn, and we buried him there and never put a headstone. And he said, recently I saw you had put him on at Rosemount, and he has a stone. And so I was able to tell him that, yes, Joe Phipps, the Phipps Memorial Company, has generously been donating free stones for Babyland, for all the babies there that did not have stones. And so he said, well, what can I do? And I said, well, just be grateful that he did it, but you might write Mr. Phipps and thank him for furnishing the headstones, you know, so. Yeah.
This has been one of her pet projects, getting all the babies' headstones at Rosemount.
But Joe Phipps has been very instrumental because not only did he donate the stones, but he buys a lot of the cemetery plots and donates them to families that don't have the money to bury the babies.
Oh,
he is a very ultra generous man. Yes.
You must come across a lot of older segregated cemeteries in your work. Do these cemeteries in any way make it more difficult for y'all?
I think you just need to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. And what's sad is, you know, that a lot of the Hispanic and especially the Black parts, there are going to be a lot more people buried there than have tombstones. You know,
yes.
It just makes you sad that you know you're not going to be able to identify them.
So there's a lot of unmarked graves in these types of cemeteries, segregated cemeteries.
Yeah. And a lot of the older cemeteries, rural ones especially, they didn't keep very good records, you know, of who bought a plot. Maybe they didn't even sell them. Maybe you just went out there and buried. And we were told that during the Depression, a lot of people would sneak in at night and bury family members because they couldn't afford the grave. So, you know, there's just not documentation to show that there are people buried there.
Mm-hmm.
To a very real certain extent, there's only so much y'all can do because of...
Exactly. They didn't really start keeping records of deaths until about 1908, and they didn't really get serious about it until about 1920.
Mm-hmm.
So before 1920, it's very hit or miss if there's going to be a death certificate to look at. Some parts of the county were very good at it, and some of them, they're non-existent. So,
and then some of them will say, like, at Bosqueville, it'll be a Hispanic person, or a Black person, excuse me, and it'll say Bosqueville. Well, there are two Black cemeteries in Bosqueville, so then we don't know which one did they actually get buried in. Yeah. And only a fence separates them. They're on a, you know, adjoining property.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you can find maybe an obit to prove which one.
Wow.
So it's just an untangling of secrets and looking and digging, researching.
We both, you know, we like doing crossword puzzles and stuff, and this is a lot like doing a puzzle. We know the resources to use. We go to FamilySearch.org a lot. That's where we can find the death certificates. We look at census records. There's a lot of resources you can use. The library has books of old obituaries from the 1800s you can consult. Those are kind of a hoot sometimes.
And the library has microfilm from not only the Waco newspapers, but a lot of newspapers in Texas, Central Texas.
Now, have you heard of anyone else in the state doing something similar to what y'all are trying to get done?
Yes.
Bosque County's doing
very good. And there's one up, I want to say around Weatherford, that these two women have claimed to photograph every grave in that county.
Mm-hmm. Wise County has done
Wise,
that too.
There you go. Yeah, that's it.
It's Wise.
Yes.
But that's a lot of photographing.
Oh, yes. And it's always changing every week, you know. Mm-hmm. So back to your question, though, about we haven't run into a lot of cemeteries that are mixed race.
Oh, okay.
You know, we have a few, but I would say very few, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And like I say, more if there's a mixture there, the white people are going to be more likely to have a tombstone mm-hmm, than mm-hmm. the minorities. Just right. And that's simply, in a lot of cases, just money.
Oh, yeah.
It was just, or they had sort of makeshift stones that didn't endure.
Well, and some of the smaller cemeteries were started by landowners for their workers on the farms. Mm-hmm. They would designate a little plot of land for their workers. Like there's a Santa Cruz, a Hispanic cemetery down at Riesel, and it was known by Driscoll Farms, and he set aside a plot of land for his employees to be buried on.
Well, there's a cemetery in Woodway that's the same way. Mm-hmm. It's surrounded by a block of housing now, but the middle of it is a black and Hispanic cemetery that was associated with a church out there and also with a ranch out there before Woodway came to be. And a friend of ours completely cleaned it out a few years ago, but nobody kept it up. So it's all grown back over now, but he did a very good job of documenting the people that were buried there. He worked very hard to try to get it straightened out, but the problem is it's sort of a no man's land. Nobody claims the land. The city won't claim it. So when somebody finishes cleaning out in a few months, all the poison ivy and everything starts growing back, and it's just a bramble again. Oh. So,
and it's in a very nice residential neighborhood.
Yeah, you'd never
right
drain.
Behind this Walgreens. Excuse me.
Yeah, by the Presbyterian Church and all that over there.
What does this, your efforts, offer us locally here in McLennan County, in the historical sense?
Well, I think every grave represents a history of that person, of that family, and their community that they grew up in. There are so many little communities that don't exist anymore that those people were part of. Out in China Spring, we visited a cemetery recently that wasn't referred to as being in China Spring. It was referred to as being in Erath. And I always thought Erath County, but this was Erath, Texas, in McLennan County. And so, you know, you don't, those towns have disappeared, but that's a link to them.
Right. But the cemeteries remain. Yeah.
Parts of them sometimes.
Parts of them, yeah.
And also you can learn some history by the headstones, because there may be a beautiful Air Force plane, and he was a pilot, or a Navy ship, and he was in the Navy, you know. And even some of the epitaphs on the headstones are very revealing.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So in a very real sense, y'all are kind of like the detectives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
What keeps y'all going?
The next cemetery.
The excitement of what we're going to find. We say, truthfully, this is the highlight of our week. We go once a week at least out looking, and it is the highlight of both of our weeks. We live for it.
In between the trips, we're home researching, putting the stuff on Find a Grave. It's just, you know, it's field work and then desk work. But it's fun to get out in the fresh air, and we've seen so much of McLennan County. We're a lot more familiar with the whole county.
Yes.
So on any day, y'all could be out there for 4 to 5 hours?
Some days we've been out so late it got real dark. We couldn't photograph almost. So, We had one little cemetery that was down at Riesel. It was called Pilgrim's Rest. And like four different people told us, you drive across the railroad track and it's right there. We drove and we looked. at least two different days, maybe three. And finally, we took a third person with us, and we're always kind of looking at ground height for a sign on a fence. It was way up in a tree. And he went, there it is. And we went, oh, my gosh. You know, thank goodness he was with us and he spotted it, because we had been driving by it, never seen it. Because it was, you know, a lot of them are way off the road. We went to one last week at Bible Hill out by Crawford. It had been inaccessible to the public for many years, and we were given permission. And it was, oh, I think a couple of miles back off the road. It took forever to get mm-hmm. back there to it. And just in a cow pasture. But yeah. It's nicely fenced and very clean.
But it's behind locked gates.
Yes.
And you have to get permission from somebody who knows it and has a key to go in there. So we have to do detective work to find out who's going to be that person to take us out there or let us have entrance to it.
And we've been very blessed. We have had 99% success rate on people granting us, you know, authority to get on their property and to photograph, or even to help us find the graves and headstones. They've been wonderful.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention that I haven't asked?
Let me clarify this. When we go out uh-huh. trying to just find the location and the physical address and the GPS address, we don't always go in there and photograph every grave. It's a searching for the cemetery. Then we're planning to go back in the future and photograph. Now, if there's an obvious new grave or maybe newer stones, we might, you know, snap those while we're there. But our purpose of that day is not really to photograph the cemetery. We get what we call overview photos to show people, you know, what the cemetery looks like when you drive up and stuff.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I think those are important, because if somebody lives on the East Coast or something and they have a relative they want to see, they not only see the tombstone, but they see the cemetery their relative is buried in.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we hoped in talking to you is mm-hmm. maybe we'd get some more leads. Maybe there'd be some people that heard this and contacted y'all and said,
absolutely,
tell them about this one, or maybe they don't know about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
I think that's a big part of it. We're hoping that people will come forward and say, oh, yes, I remember back in my grandpa's pasture, you know, there were a couple of stones, or, you know.
Yeah, we are working with Chet at the McLennan County Map Office mm-hmm. to let him know about the cemeteries. They have some documented on county records, but Sharon mm-hmm. sent him a list of how many?
114.
And to add to it, and we're giving him the GPS and everything.
And some of the ones on his map were not in a real accurate location.
Yeah.
I would find that, I can't think of the name of it, but anyway, there's one that we noticed was on a complete different road from where it should have been. So
yeah.
Then we're telling him, no, it's not on this road, it's on this road on the corner. Little Tewakana.
To update mm-hmm, that, mm-hmm, the county's mm-hmm, map. Mm-hmm. Interesting, okay.
And we went before the historical committee last Thursday to see if maybe they might spread the word in case someone knows of cemeteries or burials that they could share with us. And they were interested maybe in making sure that all the cemeteries with historical markers were placed on their historical map for McLennan County. And I'm going to say, what would you say, third of the cemeteries we visit have historical markers, maybe, or fourth?
I don't know. I'd have to think
quite a few
that.
Of them, but I mean, certainly not all of them, not yeah. even half of them, but you know.
But there are some of the ones we visit that honestly they're in danger of being destroyed.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Because if there's just a few graves and somebody new buys the land and they go, well, those graves are in my way, I want to plow this field or something, it's not unheard of for them to push those tombstones off in the ditch, and then they can plow the whole field instead of having to plow around those tombstones.
And that has happened.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen it. Where they're out under a tree.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's kind of almost in part like a race against time.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, to get
yes.
there before
mm-hmm.
deteriorates or just.
And something. If it's in a cow pasture, as Rita has stated, the cows love to rub against them, so they're going to knock them over.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're harder to see, plus they might get broken or get covered over by dirt and leaves. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Wow. So There's still a lot of work to be done.
Oh, yes.
We thought this would take us a few months when we started. Now we've decided we'll probably be working on this for who knows how long.
Yes.
Yeah. That's we don't awesome. Have to worry about something to do. We've got yes. a project.
That's Rita Hogan and Sharon McNary. The two have spent the last several months documenting cemeteries and gravestones in McLennan County as a means of historical preservation. To hear this episode or to contact Sharon and Rita about their work, you can visit our website at kwbu.org.